Are the spy cams ready for launch?
4 are primed and in the launch bay. 2 are undergoing maintenance, and the remaining 4 are currently being prepared.
4 should be fine. Pull the workers off the maintenance and prep. I may need them for other things.
Other things?
I fear that we may have to defend ourselves.
Wait, what do you mean? I thought the idea was that I got the chance to talk to them and convince them of the truth behind your mission.
I wish it were that simple, Storm Girl, but it's possible that they misunderstood my intent and will attack.
I thought that to harm them was the last thing you wanted.
It is, but it may be unavoidable. Much like in the towns.
This was the erratic behavior his sister Aunt had warned of on the vid. There was something going on here that Christy couldn't quite grasp, perhaps because she wasn't teetering over the edge of sanity. She stood back, trying not to let the confusion show on her face while she tried to work out what she should do. Meanwhile, Howard seemed to forget about her as he turned back to the console.
Launch spy cams. Lock on target area. Program holding pattern.
Launch sequence activated. Command implemented.
Christy watched as the monitor switched to the launch bay. The spy cams were small, round objects with foils to guide their flight. They looked as though they had no camouflage on them, which made her sure that they would fail to pass the term spy on at least one count, and which would make them easy prey for the crack shots of her friends when they were sighted, which would only frustrate Howard all the more. He reached behind him without bothering to turn and beckoned to Christy. Even though it made her stomach turn, she acquiesced and moved beside him. She knew a little about computers, and looking at the desk, she knew that the flip of a switch or two, a couple of taps on a keyboard, and she could stall, divert, or even destruct the spy cams. But all it would take was one word from Howard, and the system's defenses would be instituted by Sid and Hamill, no matter how much they wanted to resist. And what would happen to Christy then, and to those on the outside?
We'll soon get a better idea of what condition they're in, and what their plans are.
As Christy watched, the small propulsion units on the 4 spy cams sparked into life, fumes from the fuel filling the chamber with a light smoke that made the lens of the set cam semi-opaque. It began to clear as the air conditioning kicked in, and the spy cams lifted vertically, banking in the enclosed space before hitting the exit shaft. The monitors switched as the chamber became empty. An exterior cam showed them breaking surface and streaking up into the night sky, their trails hardly showing in the infrared. Christy was torn. On the one hand, she would love it if her friend shot down the spy cams in an act of defiance, and yet, if they did, she knew that Howard's rage would be so childlike and incandescent that he would be capable of anything. And she doubted that she would be able to stop him. Ryan finished his tale. The technomads had listened in silence to what he had to say.
Huh. Not our fight.
What the hell do you mean, lady? Haven't you listened to a word Ryan said?
The fact remains that this rider has done nothing to us. In truth, we could claim him as one of our own. Fact is, he only ever seems to attack mundanes. And the truth is, they have no love for us, and neither do we for them.
Stupid bitch.
Hey, you watch your mouth!
Ryan moved to stop him, but was beaten to the punch by Rhonda, who put her bulk between Robert and Jack.
Yeah, that's about right, Robert. You give Brianna your brains when you signed up? Say she is right about this fuckwad only being interested in mundanes. We've heard about the kind of shit he's got, and not just from old One-Eye here. Corrin, you said yourself you've been hearing things. Well, so have I. You can't travel around these parts without seeing the signs left and hearing from people when you hit a vill. The rider's got a lot of tech, and he's not afraid to use it.
So maybe that's what we should be doing. Maybe he's got a point. Maybe it's only his way of looking after himself.
Is that what she's told you? That's her big idea, is it? Is that how we keep to ourselves? Yeah, we'd like to be left alone, so let's go and bomb the fuck out of some shit poor villain and leave them mostly piles of meat. How long do you think it's gonna be before some smart-ass mundane adds 2 and 2, makes 102, and figures out that we're behind it all? Tech is tech to them, and it's all scary. So they start to come after all of us, and they ain't gonna be asking questions. Is that what you want, Cedric?
She addressed the thin, balding man who had been on the last of the land yachts. He looked at the woman beside him, then at Brianna, shrugging slightly as he did, and then at Rhonda.
Look, it's true that I don't really care what this guy does. I have no love for the mundanes. But I like that they leave us alone. Maybe you're right. Maybe they're stupid enough to think that he's one of us and start hunting us down. And I don't think any of us want that.
The first time we were dragged into their affairs, it was bad enough. That was something that many of us would rather have avoided. Okay, so that happened and it can't be changed. But that doesn't mean they can just call on us whenever they want and expect us to get them out of trouble when they can't do it themselves. You shouldn't have used that signal. You've got no right to expect us to assist you.
The thin guy with the t-shirt of the bearded Garcia shuffled his feet, as though afraid to speak against his leader.
Oh, I don't know. I think they got a point, Bree. I mean, we are here now, and...
Time to argue later. Incoming.
The sound of the spy cam propulsion units had reached his sensitive ears before anyone else's. Before anyone but Ryan and JB had even had the chance to react, Jack was already halfway up the dune, scrambling against the falling sand, his .357 Magnum Colt Python in his fist. As he reached the rise, he slowed, then cautiously raised his head so that he could get a view. Against the yellow, orange, and blue hues of the newly dawning day, he could see the four dark shapes of the spy cams. They were like black specks to begin with, growing larger by the second. Even at this distance, he could tell that they were small and were unmanned.
Well, what's out there?
Drones. Four of them.
Triple red people. We need to take them out before they reach us.
All right, men. Back to the parasails. Aerial threat. We can deal with it.
No. Don't risk yourself unnecessarily. Maybe they're armed. Let us pick them off.
And without giving Corwin a chance to argue, Ryan turned away. JB and Mildred had already joined Jack and climbed back to the summit of the dune. Ryan was hot on their heels. Doc remained at the foot, turning to Brianna.
I hope, dear lady, that you are a hotter shot than your icy demeanor would suggest. For it is our job to wait and take out any that our companions may miss, though this is unlikely.
Better be.
Brianna and her people readied their weapons. Doc noticed that Rhonda had taken from her bike a squat weapon with a disproportionately wide barrel, to which she was attaching a stock.
Madam, it strikes me that your weapon could take out a whole vill, let alone a small flying craft.
There ain't nothing like making sure.
Up on the ridge, the four friends were lined up, their guns trained on the rapidly approaching black craft.
Take it from the left as we lie.
They nodded, and each sighted the craft assigned to them by this order. It was only a matter of seconds in which to sight and fire, but they worked together with the kind of timing that comes only from living and fighting together as a unit for a long, long time.
Now.
The spy cam hit by JB's barbed metal flechettes splintered and exploded in a shower of metallic fragments. The soft metal spread on impact, the initial contact penetrating the skin of the sky cam, allowing the spread to infest the delicate mechanics and circuits of the craft, shattering the tech within and rendering it useless. Mildred was more considered with her shooting. She knew she had only one chance, and that the caliber of her Checkmate ZKR was less than that of either JB or Jack's weapons. Their ordnance could just hammer through any protective shell that the oncoming projectiles had covering them. Hers could not. It was an accurate and deadly weapon, but it had to be used with skill and care. So it was that Mildred waited until the projectile was almost upon her, until she could see details on the rapidly approaching outer shell. It was dark, smooth, the only protuberances being the fins that guided its flight. Even the propulsion, whatever it may be, was housed internally, any external exhaust emerging at the rear. But there was a potential weak point. At the front of the projectile, currently angled up, was a smooth, dark surface that was of a different consistency. It was a small circle, perhaps a lens. Whatever it might be, it was like glass, maybe armor glass, but it was the only possible weak spot. Three down, one to go. Ryan Steyer was a good weapon. Like Mildred, he was aiming at the smooth circle in the front of the projectile, just to maximize his chances with a lesser caliber. But his aim wasn't as true as hers.
Shit!
With mounting frustration and anger, he watched the small round black object shoot over him and into the space behind the dunes inhabited by the Technomads and Doc. From the way in which the other projectiles had exploded, he knew that they weren't flying bombs or missiles of any kind, which was a good thing because it meant that it wouldn't blast them into oblivion. The only conclusion he could draw was that it was some kind of SEC camera, an intel device to report back to the redoubt on who was waiting out there for them. Ryan brought the Styra around and settled it into his shoulder, taking the weight and balancing the barrel as it stood upright. Simultaneously, he focused on the moving object, its course harder to track now that it was damaged and flying erratically.
What the...
Ryan looked around and could see Doc at the bottom of the dune, the Lamar percussion pistol held firmly in a two-handed grip. With a predatory grin that showed his perfect white teeth and a visible twinkle in his eye, Doc winked at Ryan.
Damn good shooting, sweetie.
It was a pleasure. I could not let a lady do the work, could I?
Damn long time since I was called a lady. But I appreciate the sentiment.
Well, didn't do so great, did they? That last one could have taken us out.
But it didn't.
Although Corwin looked strange, with his green hair and pointed ears, he carried with him an authority that made even the imperious Brianna stop and turn to him.
Three of them were destroyed from the ground with relatively small weapons. You, of all people, should know how difficult that is. The last was damaged. Yes, it continued, but only as far as the old man, positioned as a rear guard, and he eliminated it before any of your people had a chance to move. Even someone of Rounder's skill was beaten to the punch. I call that impressive. More impressive than you could manage. I think that perhaps you are looking for fault because you don't want to get involved.
Too right. You only want to get your hands dirty when it suits you. But I figure these guys are right. If it don't suit you now, it won't be long before it comes time when you won't have a choice. They'll just bite you in the ass. Now me? I'd like to see that. But I figured if you're getting bit in the ass, then there'll be a whole load of us who are getting the same. And me? My ass is too big for some fucker to come along and bite it. I like it too much the way it is. I'm figuring that we should help these guys. That redhead? She was okay. These guys are too. And we'll be covering our own backs, as much as theirs.
I may have put it a little differently, but I think that was more or less what I was trying to say. So what do you say, Brianna?
The black man had moved nearer to her. He glanced in her direction, but his purpose was unfathomable behind those goggles. The lean, balding man they called Cedric, and the chestnut-haired woman with him, glanced over to Corwin with a tacit agreement. That left just Robert and the guy in the ancient t-shirt to consider. The latter looked at Corwin, then at Brianna, and shrugged. It didn't take much to see that he would go with whatever she said, no matter what his own opinion may be. Robert was another matter. The man was full of repressed hostility, and the fact that he could feel he was being pressured into a decision could make him contrary.
We gonna let these fuckers tell us what to do?
As opposed to letting her tell you what to do?
Madam, now is not the time.
Ryan walked up and faced Brianna.
Well, it's time to choose. Better make up your mind quick, lady, because whoever's with our man in that redoubt is going to be royally pissed that we blew up their little toys.